Hello, everybody. Let me get my windows situated. Make sure y'all can hear me okay. All the things. All right. If y'all will just let me know in the chat if everything's coming through okay, that'd be awesome. Looks like it is. Perfect. And we have, I'm not sure which coach is here today, but we have Coach Judith is here. So Judith, I'm going to just leave you. Sorry, y'all. I'm going to be clearing the throat. I just literally finished with breakfast because I have calls all the way to 3 o'clock today. So I was like, I should probably eat some breakfast. By the way, I want to tell y'all this new shit that I'm eating. I'm going to hold it up for y'all. It's granola. It's called Love Michael, L-U-V Michael. They have a chocolate version, and then they have this version, which this one happens to be my favorite. It's got organic cranberries, raisins, chia, and flax seeds in it. It is not cheap, but let me tell you this little story about this as we let people come in and get situated. I love granola. Logan loves granola. I like cereal and stuff. And so I was watching TV one day. I was probably watching the news or something. And there was an interview with a lady who started this company. And it is a granola company that her and her autistic son started together, who she noticed that he just was really good in the kitchen. Like, he knew how to follow a recipe. He kept everything clean. Like, the skills of his autism that he had really helped him in the kitchen. And so what she wanted to do was she wanted to teach him how to also work under pressure and how to like lead and do all these other things. And they started a 501c. So if you buy this granola, all the profits go to the Love Michael Foundation, where they hire autistic people to work in their fulfillment center, where they make the granola, package the granola, ship the granola, do all the things. But all of the profits go towards operating that and helping people with autism find good paying restaurant jobs. So I love it. That it's actually a great granola. Logan and I are eating it like little fucking squirrels. So I just ordered another batch. This was the 6 ounce bag. It's got 3 servings in it. And then there's some 2 ounce bags. And so this time, because it is really good, I decided to order packages of 2 ounce serving sizes so that Logan and I will be naturally portion control when we're eating it. So I just thought I would give a shout out to the Love Michael group. I don't get anything from it, but if you guys like granola and you want a good quality one and a tasty one at that, I highly recommend them. So, all right, let me go over a few announcements. If you're brand new to NoBS, and I'm going to go over a few announcements for brand new people. If you're brand new to NoBS, this is a Q&A call, which means for everybody who's here live, number one, make sure you've done your 24-hour plan. If you do not have a 24-hour plan right now, whether you are listening to this live or you are enjoying me at your own pace, listening to the replay, whenever it's convenient for you, then push pause or leave the live call. Go make a 24-hour plan first. There is no benefit to attending these calls if you are not willing to at least say, like, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I am going to think about the food that I want to put in my mouth today. And I'm going to write it down. And I'm going to do my best to put down foods that I feel confident that I will stick to this plan, or that I feel confident that if my shitty ass titty baby voice comes chiming up like, nobody can make you eat that. Like, our rebel voice, you need to tell her, shut the fuck up. Who are we rebelling against other than ourselves? Like, when we don't eat the food on our own fucking plan, this is not a middle finger salute to anybody from our childhood who hid food from us or said we couldn't have or whatever. You're going to have to get real with that rebel voice and just say, chill out. We made the plan. We put food down we like. If you ever want to defeat the rebel voice, guess what you got to do? You got to take authority over it. You can't just be like, oh, just rebel, don't know what's happening. Yes, you do know what's happening. You have an old, shitty, that comes up that says, you know, I don't want to eat that. You used to not be able to get what you wanted when you were a kid. And now that you're an adult, you should be able to make all the choices. Well, guess what? You are the adult and you are making all the choices. No matter what you do, you need to tell her voice like, yeah, I think that's exactly what's going on here. I made the food plan and I am the one who's going to choose to eat it. Nobody's making me do jack shit. So if you want to defeat Rebel, that's how we do it. But the other thing is you want to make sure you're putting things on there that you feel like you are confident that you'll either eat it or you're confident that you will use your reasoning brain, your decision-making brain, the part of you that thinks about your goals and stuff, that it will talk to the part that doesn't want to and start telling it, it doesn't matter if we want to right now. What really matters is that we take some big ass action here and that we learn that sometimes we have irrational reasons for not wanting to follow through on something that we know is good for us, that we know when we planned it made sense. You have to have those rational conversations with yourself if you want to see yourself change physically and you want to see yourself change mentally. If you want to feel better emotionally and you want to feel better physically, that means that you have to take authority over bullshit thinking that makes you feel worse and that doesn't get you the physical result that you want. So you leave the call. If you do not have a 24-hour plan and you go do the thing, then you're welcome to come back. Or if you're in the replay, then you're welcome to push play. You will have gotten a win. And I don't care if your brain is saying like, then I never follow my plan. What if I fail? Look, if you don't make a plan, you fail automatically. I'd rather you fail following the plan and learning something about your rebel voice, your excuses, your stress eating. I'd rather you learn why you're breaking your plans versus not learning dick because you didn't make one to begin with, afraid you wouldn't follow the fucking plan. Then you don't learn shit. So don't deny yourself lessons. That's how we take big ass action. So this call is optional. So if you are brand new to NoBS, what do? We stick with NoBS. We follow NoBS. We don't overwhelm ourselves with all of these extra calls. Being a member is wonderful. Yes, you get to hear from me live at least twice a week. You get access to thousands of hours of recording. So if you want to have me in your ear all the time, never get bored, something new, you got access to it. None of that's going away. NoBS is sitting there though, and it is the gateway. It's the gateway drug to all the other great things that we got in store for you to be addicted to. So finish your NoBS. I do want to make a note for all members. You may be seeing on my social media right now that we are getting ready to open the membership again. It will open a week from today, officially. So what we do, just so that everybody understands, is we run a challenge prior to what we call a big group opening. And I encourage all of you to only do the challenge if you do not overwhelm easily. If you are already consuming my content, you're really good at picking and choosing what you love, and it feels exciting and motivating. And like, you're like, I'm hanging out with you, Corinne. I'm making my plans. And, you know, like, I listen to this call because it motivates me. And, you know, this doesn't really pertain to me. So I know to stay away from that. If you're doing all that, you are welcome to join the challenge because you'll go in with the mindset of, this is only going to help me. This is going to be great. If you overwhelm and you're a member, you do not need to do free shit. It is the watered down messaging of everything you have in here. There is nothing new and nothing novel that goes on in a challenge. They just get to hear from me once a day, but they're not learning. Like, I'm never going to teach something on the outside of our membership that you should know. Like, that would be like fucking ridiculous. So you don't need the challenge. Stick with everything we're doing in here. Finish up taking big ass action. This week, we are on lesson 5, the 8 roadblocks to overcoming like a stalled action. So if you want, like, I sat and thought about, like, what are the 8 most common things that trip us up? And how do we get going? How do we overcome that? How do we go anyway? How do we do it when we don't want to? That is in that lesson. So I highly recommend, instead of the challenge, make sure you have finished all of your taking big S action work, because it's important. And then on Saturday, February 26th, Coach Julie is going to take y'all through the monthly assessment. So it's end of the month time. If you look inside of your planner, there's the monthly assessment. She's going to do a live interactive call at 10 a.m. Central Time with the membership on taking you through your monthly assessment, so you can look back with compassion, curiosity, and understanding. And then you look forward with motivation, insight, and courage. So we want to make sure that you get set up for your next month by taking a healthy look back and taking a look forward that's doable and going to move you forward with some momentum. And then on February the 27th, I am going to be doing a special movement coaching call. So my normal weight loss coaching call is going to be called a movement coaching call. So that will be at 1 p.m. Central Time, same time as it always is. It's just that we're going to focus on movement. We have a lot of you who are very curious about the Don't Stop Believing race that we'll be doing in June. Signups for Don't Stop Believing will begin at the 1st of March, because the training begins in the first week of April. So I want to coach people who are hesitant about moving, who have a story about whether or not they can. They have stories around being slow. They've never been an athlete before, all those kinds of things. So I will be doing all of that on Sunday for y'all, so that you can, like, think about, like, do I really want to do the Don't Stop Believing event? That race is going to be just a timed event. We'll have some people in Nashville, some people, most people will do it virtually at home, but we will take you through the training, and then people will come here. There won't be a full-on camp weekend experience like we normally do, but people will be able to come here so they can run with their DSB sisters, the Don't Stop Believing sisters, okay? And then just again on the Take Control of Food Challenge, I want to say this, I'll say it again on Sunday. The way that we do our membership is that if somebody is brand new to me and they sign up for the free course, which most of you came through the free course, they get a small window in order to join. And then if they don't join during that time, then they have to wait until a challenge, and then they go through a challenge, and then they're invited to join. So we're open for just 4 days. That's happening next week. Please remember, when we have all of our newbies who start joining our Facebook group, there will not be a special subgroup for them. We tried that last time, and what we found was a lot of the newbies had a hard time finding people who could give them really good advice, who could help soothe their nerves. They were just a bunch of people in there together who all were scared as shit. They need you. So I want you to think back, and I give this talk all the time. I want you to think back when you were brand new to No BS. It was scary. You did not know if you could lose your weight. You probably thought, you were very, most of you were probably very convinced you couldn't, but you were just going to try one more time. You went into it even with your old diet mindset. Many of you came in and, you know, snuck around under the radar, still counting your points, not deleting your MFP apps and all that kind of stuff. And these women, a majority of them have been bullied, made fun of, and tore apart for their weight most of their life. They have been in many diet programs where if you didn't do it right, you were shamed. You were talked to like something was wrong with you. And we're not like that. So I just want you to remember that when they are all coming in there brand new, and you may go to the Facebook group and think, oh my God, it's so busy. And oh my God, all these newbie questions. They deserve an opportunity to be welcomed and treated as if they've been here their entire life. And they're going to need us. They are going to need us to show them that we are not like other diet programs. We do not shame people when they make mistakes. And all of you will help with that. So just welcome them. Be patient. The first couple of weeks is always busy. And then then everybody gets used to it. It's never as busy it will be as the first couple of weeks. First week, everybody wants to introduce themselves. It's me. I'm here. Oh my God, you need to know me. That's always the big thing. And then the next week is, I'm scared. Like, I can't figure out, like I'm going to travel. There's no way I can do this. Or they'll come in, they'll say things that we all know are just not true anymore. They'll come in and say, you know, my partner isn't supporting me. They actually bought chips today. How am I ever going to lose weight if my partner buys chips? They made me feel unsupported. They're going to talk like we all believed before we busted through the doors like the Kool-Aid man ourselves. So just have a little compassion with them. They will chill out. Once they get through module 2 of No BS, they'll start understanding, oh, you mean nobody makes me feel like shit but me? What? And then the next wave of, I'm broken. Oh my God, if nobody's making me feel bad, that's my fault. Oh my Lord. Corinne, could I lose weight? I've been like this for 60 years. Why didn't anybody tell me? They'll go through that phase. And what are we going to do? We're going to link them to great resources and videos. We are going to tell them to stick with No BS, and we are going to love them harder than they've probably ever been loved before so that they understand they are in the exact right place they need to be. And that's how we're going to roll. All right. This week, we had 11 new members for the Queen's Club, 25 pounds down, bitches. And we also had Brittany Graham say this on why she loves being a No BS woman. So Brittany Graham, you're getting a shout out. This community is about so much more than weight loss. It's about healing trauma, learning to trust myself, setting goals, and making myself a priority, and celebrating the heck out of every achievement. It's the first framework that feels as holistic as health actually is, and as no nonsense, dare I say no bullshit, as weight loss is when you strip away all the diet culture crap. I've learned to put myself at the center of my story, met incredible women who have become a cheer squad, and learned to make what I do for my health simple, enjoyable, and sustainable. So thank you, Brittany, for saying that. And yes, that is the way that I believe that we are. We are. I do believe that we have a membership that really promotes health, because health starts in the brain. It does not start in the body. I want you all to think about this. If you think about health, it must start in the brain. Mental health, because your brain is what drives your actions. Your brain is what drives you to do what you're going to do. So when you work on your mental health, when you work on how you think, when you allow yourself to listen to how you naturally think, and you don't judge it, and you go to work on retelling stories in a more neutral way, in a more easy way, in a more like this could be true to kind of way, then what you do for your body starts to become easier and easier. You start looking forward to treating yourself well. If you treat yourself, I want y'all to hear me when I say this. When you treat yourself well mentally, it is so much easier to treat yourself well physically. What a lot of you want to do is treat yourself poorly mentally. Like, I want to beat myself up. I want to tell myself all the reasons why I can't lose weight. I want to scare the shit out of myself. And then I wonder why physically I have a really hard time pulling the trigger. To treat yourself well physically, it's going to require some energy. And if you're going into it wearing yourself down every day by the way you speak to yourself, don't be shocked that it's hard for you to make more healthful choices for yourself. To sit and wait for your hunger. To stop when you've actually had enough. So it's just really important that we think about our mental health just as importantly as we think about our physical health, because mental health drives the physical. All right. So I promised that I would start with this question in the Facebook group because I read it this morning My team actually had already pulled this question because they had read it too. And I thought it was amazing. So Yvette, if you are here, I don't ever do this, but if Yvette happens to be here and you want to get coached, if you are in a place where you can raise your hand and you are in a place where it's like you're not walking around or driving, I'd be happy to bring you on. I know it's a surprise, but if you're here, I'm happy to talk to you about it. But I'm going to read what was given to me and what she posted and then want to talk about it because I don't think she's here. Why am I still not happy after losing nearly 40 pounds? I started my weight loss journey with 3 hours of exercising per day and a strict diet. The first 30 pounds came off in 2 months, and the last 10 pounds took forever to lose. So first, before we even get to anything, there's a couple things to pull apart here. Number one is if you do something that's unsustainable, but you're only trying to get the weight off, you're not changing your mindset. You're probably hating your body because you're willing to do something so extreme. And then you're making and willpowering yourself to, like, you're so focused on like, I got to go work out. I got to do this. Because on the other side of I've got to is because if you don't, you'll still be fat and miserable. You still won't be loved. You still won't be good enough. You will blah, 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 blah. I want y'all to think about, a lot of us will talk to ourselves about doing things. And if you're thinking, I gotta do it, I want you to think, why? Because what? What am I imagining that if I don't do this is going to happen? That thought, that thought is a subconscious fear that you're having. So whatever you're trying to do, you're not doing it because you love yourself. You're not doing it because, like, I'm like, I would love to work out 3 hours a day. Like, this would be amazing. I'm going to change my life in order to make it happen. I've always visualized being an athlete. Like, there's nothing better than spending 3 hours a day in the gym. Like, this is where my posse's going to be. If that was the case, you wouldn't be saying, I got to go. You'd be saying, I can't wait to get there. Now, I'm not saying that 3 hours a day of exercise is healthy, but I just want you to see the difference. So when you do things from I gotta, the back end always has a subconscious thing. So when you're going to the gym for 3 hours a day, you're not trying to lose weight. You're trying to outrun your subconscious fears around what you think you are. You're hoping that whatever it is that you believe you are at the core will change if you lose weight. And you found out that doesn't happen. Our brain doesn't think differently unless we train it to think differently. So if you tell yourself, I got to go work out 3 hours a day and I got to follow a strict plan in order to be able to lose my weight, then when you lose weight, this is what you're left with. I got to keep this up, or I'm going to be miserable. I'm going to be overweight. I'm going to gain weight. Like, your brain is now having, like, it still wants to practice subconscious fear thinking. You never taught it to not have subconscious fears. You never taught your brain to rewire the subconscious. So it's just still operating exactly the way you taught it to while you lost weight. That is why you don't feel better. Losing weight does not make you feel better. This is what happens. When y'all lose weight, if you do not do the mental work at all you do is brute force make yourself lose weight. Like, this even happens in no BS. Oh, this is what y'all do. I'm just going to call some of y'all out. Well, like, I really get the 24-hour plan, and eating to enough and stuff is awesome, but you know, that mental work Chris talks about, and like all those TFD bicycle things, and you know, like getting on all that paper and killing trees. I'm not down. Not going to do that part. All I want to do is the part that, like, I can just take action on. Well, then y'all end up losing 40, 50, 100 pounds. And then you get on a coaching call. And you're crying because you're miserable. Because you're still talking to yourself the same fucking way you did on day one. You didn't learn how to think better about your body. This is what happens. You lose weight, and I will tell you, you'll have like blips. It's like every now and then somebody just gives you a line of coke. Like, you're a cocaine addict. You want to feel good all the time. Like, you're like, all of you who lose weight are like, here's what I want. I want to love my body all the time. I want to be in control of food all the time. I just want to be happy because I lost my weight. I don't understand when I lose my weight that I am not just in some kind of euphoric, drug-induced high. This is what happens. You weigh and you've lost weight. And a few times you're like, yes, you get relief. Most of you are not like sitting there going, oh gosh, this is a result of working hard. Yay me. I am a baller. I'm a badass. Like, I am never going to worry about my weight again because I have changed my life. And let me count the ways on how I've done differently. Now, this is what y'all do. Oh my God, I've lost my weight. I sure hope I don't gain it back. What if this was just like weird? What if this week I hit my goal weight and next week it goes up a little? What am I going to do? When you don't work on how you think, your brain will take any situation with your weight and your body, and it will figure out how to be afraid. It will figure out how to be abusive. It will figure out how to be traumatic. It will figure out how to feel restricted. If you lost your weight restricting all the time, guess what? You're going to be sitting around thinking when you get there, like, I really just need a break. Like, you just need a break. And you've never practiced realistic eating. You've never practiced maintenance lifestyle eating. You don't know how to be around your foods without it being a fucking freak show. So don't expect when you've gotten to goal weight that you're going to be like, now I can have the donuts and I'm going to just eat one because I believe in myself so much. It's like, no, you're going to be like, I'm going to have a donut because I just need a break and I will get back to being serious the next day. Because you think you have to be serious in order to lose your weight. You ain't got to be serious. You got to be decisive. You got to be consistent. You got to listen to how you think about yourself and talk to yourself and change that shit over time. You ain't got to be perfect. It's not even exhaustive hard work. As long as you're not sitting around thinking exhaustive type thoughts, you don't feel exhausted about it. If you have curious thoughts like, I wonder if tonight I can just eat a little bit less than I did last night. I wonder how I'll respond to that. I wonder if my brain will throw a fit or if my brain will be like, hardly miss it. That's different than like, well, I have a really hard time with stopping at enough. And you know, my childhood, my parents always made me clean my plate. And if y'all don't know, I'm 65 fucking years old and this is how long it's taken. So tonight, I'm going to see about leaving food behind, but I bet you money, I'm going to be starving and miserable and having to deal with the urge of that. And I won't even know what to do with myself. And then y'all wonder why you're so fucking tired when it comes to losing weight. We do not do novellas in no BS. If you don't want to be exhausted with weight loss, quit creating exhaustive stories. Listen to what you talk about. Listen to how you think when you're getting ready to eat. What is the approach you're taking when you're going to try something? Are you trying it from fear? Are you trying it because you think you have to? You gotta? Or are you doing it because you're like, legitly, you know what I'm ready to do? Figure this out. And I'm going to try some of this shit Corinne says. I'm just going to see how my brain reacts. And then however my brain reacts, here's what I'll know. I will know whether it works or not. And I'll know my thinking. And I can take it to ask coaches. And I bet them bitches will help me. We could just be thinking like that, which feels helpful. This feels motivating, which feels curious. So it's important to pay attention to your thinking. Y'all, I can't even say it enough. Pay attention to your thinking. Don't judge your thinking. Get to know it. The more you know it, the more that you can talk to yourself kindly about how you would love to start thinking about little things. You're just like, you know, I probably don't have to keep saying over and over again. Like for all of you who are like, well, you know, when I was a kid, they didn't teach me. I don't know. I'm like 50 years old. Like, you don't even have to tell that part of the story anymore, ever, if you don't want to. You know what your new story could be? I'm 50 years old. I'm so glad that I live in a day and time where I can listen to someone tell me exactly why it's been hard for me all my life, which means now for the rest of my life, it can be easier. That also could be the story. So let me finish your vet here. My weight is now creeping up again and I'm scared. I don't doubt it. Like if we've talked, like if you like are talking to yourself like an asshole, yeah, you'll talk to yourself in a way that is scared. You're scared if you're telling yourself it's going to take 3 hours of exercise. There's no way I can keep my weight off doing this. And if your weight is creeping up, like ask yourself, what is going on where I am eating that would produce weight gain? And it is not cutting back exercise. I used to do triathlons. I used to do 5-day like epic adventure races. I used to have to work out all the time. And I am literally 5 pounds heavier than I was when I was doing all of that shit. In my weight range. And let me just tell you, I like the 5 pounds that I've added because I lifted weights through it all. I didn't sit there and think I'm getting fat and going to regain 100 pounds. I just decided I'm going to lift weights. I don't want to do hours and hours of cardio anymore. I'm going to tell you, like I am training for a half marathon. I have 1 day a week that I got to work out for more than 45 minutes. The rest of my week, you know what I like to do? Work out for 45 minutes. Sometimes I add a walk to the end so I can Marco Polo Jane. Sometimes I stretch. I might even diddle with some core work. But I'm a 45-minute girl. And I love it. Do you know why I have gained 5 pounds over the last... It's taken me... Oh my gosh. What year are we in? 22? What? 10 years? I drink more than I used to. When I did all of those epic adventure races, I couldn't have wine, but 1 day a week. That was it. I had too many training days. Well, I like to have wine more than 1 day a week now. And I like to go to Vegas as if I live there. I'm fine with that 5-pound trade. But my mind is not scaring myself over it. Now, I'm not saying you need to gain weight, Yvette. I'm not saying that at all. But you don't need to be scared over it. You lost 40 pounds. What we want to do is we want to ask ourselves, honestly and realistically. So, Yvette, if you just set aside your scared brain, I just want you to say, all right, if I'm gaining weight, what could be the causes? Are there times that I'm eating more than I need? Are there times that I'm eating when I'm not hungry? Are there times when I'm scared and I'm bucket eating? And just being real about it and then take it to ask coaches. Take what you're finding over to ask coaches. Because the other thing is I realized I constantly think about my weight and weigh myself every day out of obligation. So this is one of the reasons why it's very hard for a lot of you, like what you do while you're losing weight. Probably when you were losing weight, you were also weighing yourself every day to keep yourself in check. And you probably have that same thought now. You have to decide, is some thought like that even helpful? I don't care if you weigh every day, but I would rather see you weigh every day saying, I'm going to weigh every day to learn how to talk to myself about my weight so that I can reveal what goes on for me when I weigh, and then tell myself a whole new story. And that will take a couple months of weighing consistently And like, are you willing to put yourself in your emotional harm's way? You're already doing it now. You're just not doing it consciously. You're just like acting as if you have no say in the matter on how you think and feel about yourself based on what you weigh. Because the last part is, a slight upward change can really impact my mood for the day. It can't impact your mood. What it can do is trigger you to have a lot of thoughts and feelings about it. But if the scale, if you can be triggered to have thoughts and feelings, that also means that you can use those thoughts and feelings, use that mood to learn how to be compassionate with yourself and to say things like, I've got this. It's one meal at a time. I do not need to freak out about this. I know how to eat when I'm hungry. I know how to stop it enough. Sometimes I may not do those perfectly, but I'm working on both of them. I'm learning how to include foods that I love and keep including the foods that help me lose 40 pounds. I'm learning how to exercise in a way that I actually truly enjoy, that I'm not doing as a punishment, that I'm not doing because I have to. Like, I'm learning how to meet myself at a place I truly want to live my life. And that's what's important, Yvette. Okay. I'm looking for specific concrete triggers to remind me to stop at half and pause when eating. Any ideas? A phone alarm doesn't seem to be working because I eat at different times and typically only when hungry. So one thing you could do differently is, if you eat at different times, like if you're waiting for hunger, you can go to your phone and you can use your clock, and rather you can use, you can use the timer feature. If you have an iPhone, use the timer feature. Time how long it typically takes you to eat. Okay. Then what I want you to do is, after a couple of days, I want you to set the timer for the halfway mark, so that, like, let's say it takes you 7 minutes to eat. Then what I would like for you to do is then you start using your timer and you set it for 3.5 minutes and it goes off, and that is where you do your pause. The other thing that some people do is, every time they eat, this is one of the camp relationship do cards. I bet you we have something in there along the lines of this. Let's see if we have one. Okay, here's number two that I picked on. If you're coming to camp, then what you could do is you could find this specific card in your swag box. A meal can be fulfilling without making you full. And then it says, brainstorm ways you can enjoy your food without eating until full. Then write these strategies on your 24-hour plans every day this week. Okay. So what you could do is, you literally could take this card, and then you know that every time you eat, you just put the card right there. That is your trigger to, like, get your brain set on, okay, we're going to gauge how to stop it enough. A couple of other things, if you really want to stop at half, that, one thing that you could do to stop at half is serve yourself half the food you normally do, so that you actually have to get up to go and get more food. That would be another thing. This is also a great question to post inside the Facebook group, if you want to post in there and just ask other people, what have y'all done in order to solve this problem too. Last week, I've been listening to podcasts from the beginning, and I keep hearing about the tribe opening up. Am I in? Yes, you are in, Sandy. If you're on this call, you're officially a member. So you are inside the membership. Why don't you do this? Email us at support@pnptribe.com. That's our customer service. Email them and just make sure that you are getting your emails for being a new member. Maybe you're not, Sandy, but we do send emails, but you have a membership site. You should have an email from us at NoBS Women, an email from us that will take you to NoBSWomen.com, where you actually have to log in order to get access to these calls, in order to do those things. So if you're here, that means you are inside the membership, but you have a whole website. It's not just our Facebook group. Sometimes people get excited, join the Facebook group, and don't ever remember to log into NoBSWomen.com. on that there is your orientation videos, and then you'll go immediately into the No BS weight loss course. And that's what we want you to take. These are extra bonus calls. What kind of thought work can I do when I feel really moody due to hormones? Right. Here's how I'm feeling today. Write down the feelings that you're feeling. And then I would just write like, all right, what thinking is causing this? Because even when you're hormonal, it's triggering thoughts. Like, I'm in the throes of hormones right now. Like, I got a big ass period starting in 2 days. I can't believe we're going to be in the middle of our challenge and I'm going to be raging on my period. I will be saber rattling and slapping tables, I'm sure, for days and crying like a beast. But a lot of times what I do is, like, I understand that I'm hormonal. So sometimes when, like, what I notice when I journal when I'm hormonal is I'm very sensitive to things. It's like some stuff that would not, like, I would just be like, doesn't even matter, matters when I'm hormonal. And it's just that the thoughts shift. So just acknowledging it, and just, I tell myself, you know, like, I feel this way because, you know, I'm hormonal right now. And when I'm hormonal, I tend to think these things and I tend to feel these things. And then what I would do that makes it different, what I do is I would say, and when I'm hormonal and I'm more sensitive, here's how I want to react to those thoughts and feelings. And here's how I want to take care of myself when I have those thoughts and feelings. So this is important because a lot of you think that if you have a thought and a feeling that's like, well, show's over, I just have to keep acting the way that I always do. No. Just because you think something and feel something doesn't mean you have to be a total asshole. It doesn't mean you have to, like, do jerky ass do line things. You can stop right there and decide to pivot. You don't even have to believe something new, and you don't even have to think something new about whatever it is that you're worked up over. You can just say, when, like, this is one for me, I have a boundary with myself. So at Relationships Camps Weekend, we're going to be talking on day two about boundaries. Many of us suck at setting personal boundaries, and we suck at setting boundaries with other people. We don't know how, we don't know when one is warranted. A lot of us are setting boundaries when we really need to be changing our own thinking. We're setting boundaries in hopes to change someone else so then we can feel better about ourselves. That sucks. That's a no. We set boundaries to protect ourselves when we actually need protecting, right? So for me, I have a personal boundary. When I am angry at Chris, I don't know what he's done. I don't even know what I'm thinking, but I do know myself well enough that I get angry at people. And so one of my personal boundaries is when I feel anger, when the burning in my chest starts, the shaking starts happening in my body, my throat starts closing up, and I get that whoosh of heat and fire go through my face, I leave the room. It's my personal boundary with Corinne. I do not try to talk to people about things. I do not try to win arguments. I do not try to defend my position. I do not do anything that's going to cause me or any of my relationships, like any kind of potential collateral damage. If I want to have a conversation with them and I know that they've done wrong and stuff, I'm not doing it when I'm angry. If it's that warranted, I'm going to do it when I'm calm and I've got my best interest in mind and the relationship's best interest in mind. When I'm just reacting in anger, I'm not thinking rationally. I'm likely to make it personal. I'm likely to say shit I'll regret. I may be in the right, but I won't say the right things. And I know that about me. And so it's one of the things that I have worked on. And when I'm hormonal, I tend to get angry. I go from sad to angry in a heartbeat. And so I set an internal boundary. And so one of the things that you can do is ask yourself, all right, when I'm thinking and feeling these things, how do I want to show up for myself? What are the things I will and will not do? And then you use your anger or whatever feeling you're having, sadness, depression, worry, whatever feeling is coming up, and you use those thoughts as triggers to try to be your best self. And you decide your best self ahead of time. Like, just like what we do when we look for patterns in our food, we can look for patterns in the way that we think and feel and act in the world too. I had a cervical spine steroid injection on Monday and I'm ravenously hungry. Still making plans, but I have eaten off plan for 2 days. What should I do because this drug is responsible for the hunger? I would probably plan more food. I would just be very deliberate about the food you plan. So that it's like, if one thing you know is if it's actually driving hunger, that doesn't mean it has to drive hunger for Oreos or ding dongs or, you know, hamburgers or pizzas or whatever. So just be very deliberate about it. Just jack load. I mean, especially if you had a steroid injection in your spine, you probably need to jack load it with better quality foods. And so I would just load it up. And if you're actually hungry, then, you know, eat you some carrots and hummus. Because one of the nice things about, like, if it's triggering hunger is you'll know for sure if you're caving for cravings. If you've got like carrots and hummus playing and you're like, oh, that's a no. It's like, well, then you're not truly hungry and the drug is not making you hungry. But if you're just like, yes, I'm actually hungry, I will eat the carrots and hummus. I might not even enjoy them, but I will eat them. Then we know at least you're supplying your body with good food and you're doing it because your body is being driven with real hunger. And if it's being driven from real hunger because of some kind of like health thing, I would give it the best quality food I could. I am loving my life as I learn about my thoughts and for a couple of foods, cashews, crackers, chips, cheesies, foods I traditionally binge on. I am planning and including, and I follow the package notes, reserving size and calories. What are your thoughts about serving sizes for trigger foods? I think it's fine. It's no different than like Logan and I are like digging on this granola. And I ordered the 2 ounce packages because I was like, Logan and I are getting the 6 ounce packages and somehow 6 ounces can become a serving for both of us. And I'm really working with Logan on serving sizes right now. I don't think there's anything wrong with serving sizes. I think that they are really good. And like, if you use serving sizes, I don't think we have to do it for everything. Like I'm not one to want to measure a lot of shit, but there are certain foods that I know that I can just automatically eat. And they may even take, it might take my stomach a while to send the signal that we've had enough and for me to stop when I probably could have stopped much earlier. So it's like, I think of serving sizes is no different than when we are trying to get in touch with enough, when we will serve a little less than we normally do. That's still the same type of mentality. I think it's about getting intentional about like, all right, these are foods that it's easy for me to nosh on, but I want to include them. So what is the easiest way that I can, you know, have these foods in a way that makes it easy for me to enjoy and easy for me to stop at a reasonable amount? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think you're doing great. I spend a lot of time in self-pity and victim mentality, and it slows down my action. Oh, yeah. Any pivot ideas for my life sucks and I'm doomed to suffer? Well, first of all, Kelly, what you can do is you can do some journaling on, like, this is literally the easiest journaling prompt ever. What doesn't suck about my life right now? How often each day am I not actually suffering? You could even do some stuff on what would true suffering in life really look like? I think a lot of times our brain wants to say like, I'm doomed to suffer. And then it's like, I'm doomed to suffer, but I do have time to be on a live Zoom call with technology and be in a paid membership. Like there are like, I will tell you, I have this same little pity party that happens very often. And I remind myself like, bitch, like you got up this morning and the first thing you did was make a cup of coffee. There are people in this world right now who are waking up this morning trying to figure out how to feed their babies. wondering if they can, like, I think, I know this sounds crazy, but I think about, I watch a lot of shows about, you know, I'm really big into women empowerment, and I watch a lot of shows on how women are treated in other parts of the world. They're suffering. They can't leave their house. They're given no authority over their body. None. A man tells them what they can and can't do with their body. You know, like, I think about, like, sometimes it helps me to realize when I'm being dramatic about my life, like, oh, it's not, like, it may not be my ideal. And I may not have the things that, like I have dreams and aspirations of certain things being different. But at the end of the day, here's what is good. Here's what I'm missing. And that's another good question for a lot of you. Like, what in my life, if I wasn't focused on it sucking and me suffering, what in my life am I missing out on? Like, do you have a pet that loves you? I mean, it's almost spring. Like, do you have anybody in Nobis that fucking gives a shit about you? I mean, like, here's a good one for you today. My life sucks and I'm doomed to suffer. Or you could be thinking, I asked Corinne a question and got the fucking CEO of the Nobis weight loss program, where people would kill for her to answer their question, and she answered mine today. Now, I'm not saying that to brag about me, but it's like, we have to look for the little things. We have very much, many of us, we have a lot of opportunity to notice some things that are going right. But when your brain is only thinking about how much it sucks and how much you're doomed to suffer, it looks for things to bitch about. Just like I answered your question, Kelly, it'd be real easy to be like, yeah, well, I posted it like, you know, 10 minutes ago, took her long enough. She almost didn't get to me. Like, I was paying attention 10 minutes ago, but not now. Like, this is how, like, it's so easy for all of us to just think bullshit if we choose to. Now, this is not to, like, wipe away your suffering and not acknowledge it. It's about getting real about what is true, what truly does suck. Like, make a list. Here's what actually sucks in my life. And then I'd make another list and here's what I'm fucking doing about it. Because there's not, I promise you, Kelly, there's not anything in your life that you can't take some authority or control over. That you could figure out a way to make it suck less, to make it better. It may be scary to change it. It might be hard. It might be risky, but are you willing to have fear and risk and hard work to change it? Or do you want to just sit around and think about how much it all sucks? That is what most of us do. I love what Donna just posted. Having cancer actually sucks. Yeah. Like, we're all going to agree if we got cancer, we get to bitch. Like, nobody needs to be like, cancer's my gift. If you want to think cancer's your gift, that's fine. I like, for those that can get there, that's awesome. But what Donna said is, how I take care of myself does not suck. That's where we get into a mindset where it's like, there are things I want to acknowledge that I don't like. But like, even look, if Donna stayed in the mindset that, and Lou has stage 4 cancer. By the way, ladies, praying for both of you. I'm going to add you to my list. I hope y'all know I write a letter every morning to God. I started this not too long ago. I added it to my journaling because I really wanted to kind of get a little bit more back to my Catholic roots. I'm not ready to like go to the church and do all the things like Kathy Hartman is, but I just have faith and I have belief and I know that I don't practice it near enough. And I was sitting there thinking about praying every day and I realized how much of a good journaler I am and how writing just works for me. And so every day I started writing a letter to God. And it was just like all the No BS ladies know. I always make a list of who I'm praying for. And I always put my No BS ladies. So if nothing else, you are all good pray for every day. But like when we think about like, you know, dealing with cancer and that sucking and stuff like that, we want to acknowledge the part of us that scared, didn't want this to happen. Sometimes the part of us that wishes we didn't have it and all this other stuff. And acknowledge that that's normal. And that is part of being a human. And we're supposed to not feel good at times about stuff. But we also want to acknowledge the part of us that can decide, like, with the time I have on this earth, how can I spend time noticing what's right in my life? Figuring out how to change important things in my life. Taking control over areas that I've let other people have control over for far too long. Am I willing, Kelly, to ask myself, what parts suck? And do I just want to complain? Or do I want to do something about it? And then I'm going to choose to feel good about the version of me that's doing something about it until things change. But I don't need the things to change to feel better. I need to believe in Kelly. And I need to feel good about Kelly. Because if Kelly feels good about Kelly on the way there, she doesn't need the things to change to start feeling better. She has to change her attitude about the things that are going on. Let's see. I'm a lot like the person who exercised 3 hours a day and restricted. That's how I was my whole life until I got into my mid-40s when I started eating a bit more and exercising less. I don't know what CWGW mean. 170 and then 150, boom weight, 135. Honestly, I'd be happy losing 20 pounds. The damn weight won't budge. Been in No BS for almost a year, and I'm the same weight today as day one. I've learned a lot about being kind to myself and listening to my body. I'm even in private coaching. Data is 90 to 95%. Help me. I would like to know what the 5 to 10% when you're off, what is that? Like, specifically what is not happening. I would take that to your one-on-one coach. I would also like, whatever that is probably why the weight's not budging. Also, you may want to examine, is that a weight? Like, you really truly, like, why do you want to lose these 20 pounds? There's a lot of things that happen. Number one is we always have to, like, for a long time, I held on to this idea that I wanted to get back into the 140s. I have been in the 150 to 160 range for the last 10 years, like a religion. You can check my Happy Scale app and it is just, boop. I mean, I just stay in that range and it's easy. And so for like a long time, I was just like hanging on to this idea that I should be in the 140s, that it would be better if I was in the 140s. And when I started looking at it, I started realizing, I don't think it's going to be any better. The only thing I really wanted to do was to feel comfortable around food and comfortable in my body. The 140s was not going to create that for me. I had to actually learn how to be comfortable in my body. Actually, once I like started loving my body, loving my muscles, like all the things, and I started like realizing how great it is that like I have authority over food, that like, you know, I mean, at one point I might not have ate granola, but here I am. Like, I think this is a great choice. If that's all I really wanted, suddenly I lost the desire to want to get back down there. And it wasn't that I couldn't eat granola when I was down there and stuff. I just realized I felt good here. But I'd been denying myself the opportunity to feel good here because I just kept thinking there was better. So a lot of times we need to like examine that, because if it takes a lot of restriction and 3 hours of exercise to get to your lowest weight, that wasn't a weight you should have ever been. I want you to think about that for all of you. If the weight requires, and I'm not saying to not be hungry and stuff, I'm saying if the weight requires true extremes, starving, restrictive type eating patterns and stuff, we have to question, is that the weight that's actually right for us? What do we think we're going to feel at that weight? Whatever we're going to be feeling and thinking, then I would work harder on getting that those feelings and thoughts on lock at this weight first. Then you can decide what you want to be doing from that mindset moving forward. The other thing is, I would just like tackle, if your data isn't 100%, figure out how to get to 100. Where are the overeats still coming in? And then you can look at quality of food. You know, like, I'm not saying you can't ever have, you know, like, sometimes people kind of get a little entitled. Yeah, we can eat whatever we want, you know, for our goals. If I ate pizza every damn day for, like, if it was me, I'd eat McDonald's for breakfast, or I'd eat McDonald's for lunch, and I'd eat pizza for dinner. And I'd probably, I don't even know what, I'd probably have a donut for breakfast. That would be what I would want. But my body would be like, oh, even if I ate when I was hungry and to enough, at this size, it's not going to fly. Now, I'm not saying you're doing that, but you have to kind of start looking at it and think, okay, like, in order to get there, is there a food I need to tweak? Is there something that I'm refusing to tweak, thinking like, that wouldn't be fair? Why is that unfair? If that's the goal, then think about, like, is there something I can tweak and try and see, will I even miss it? What is my emotional attachment to it? Am I willing to let my emotional attachment go for this food in order to have the emotions that I want with my goal? Just things to consider. All right. Everybody, that's it. I will see y'all on Sunday for coaching at 1 p.m. Central Time. We'll do the movement coaching. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.